If you guys have a Bible, I would encourage you to find James chapter 3. If you have a black pew Bible in front of you, it's on, I think, page 1883. Now, what I did find out is that there are different pew Bibles. So I don't know where you're going to end up. But there, somewhere over there, there's a Bible that I looked at, and it was on page 1883. 1197. Do I got a 45, 9, anybody 50? No? Okay. So you guys have been going through this letter that James wrote about practical faith, right? How do we live out this life that we trust Jesus, and then what do we do with that? We live in a world that's difficult at best to get through. And so James is equipping people here as we read. He's equipping us now as we live out the faith that we have. And how do we do that practically? What are things that we can be doing? And so even at the beginning of James, he just starts off by telling you, count everything joy. Even those moments that you feel like life is crashing around you and you've just lost, like count that joy. And he goes on, like, if you need wisdom, ask me. I want to give you more wisdom. I'm not ever going to throw back in your face how you spent the last wisdom I gave you. I'll give you more. And he just keeps going on and on and on. It's encouraging. It's encouraging if you know Jesus, how you can read through this and see these ways that we can practically live out our faith in a very fallen and very broken world. Beginning of James chapter 3, so Pastor Tom and I have laughed about this a few times. I'm just going to read verse 1 to you, okay? Now, I want you to remember the reason that I'm here is because I want you to like me. But James chapter 3 verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, because you know that those who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So as I'm studying this week, like, this verse keeps coming back. And it keeps coming back to me because I'm thinking, Lord, all I want to do is represent you well. All I want to do is take what's in here and take it and just put it out here. I want to do that well. And I recognize that not everybody should be doing this. So my prayer this week has been, Lord, I want to be the kind of person that you would let do this. So today, as we go through, we're going to talk about the things that we say. The little things in life have big meaning on what happens. And sometimes the little things we say can tear people down really fast. Sometimes it's the little things that we say that can build people up quickly too. But what you say matters. So I was trying to figure out, like, do I want to name this shut your mouth? Do I want to name this watch what you say? I don't know. I still haven't decided. Maybe I'll figure it out by the end. But let me just read through these first 12 verses. And then let's just go through and let's unpack and see what James has. So not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that those who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, then he's perfect and he's able to bridle his whole body. And if we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships. Though they are so large and they're driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, but it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members and it stains our entire body, setting on fire the entire course of life that is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? The answer is no. Can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grapevine produce figs? No. Neither can a salt pond bring fresh water. It's the little things, right? It's the little things that we do that make a big difference. In verse 2, James says that we all stumble in many ways. And every one of us should say, hallelujah. Because that's what makes each and every one of us the same. You know, the other day when you looked at your neighbor and you look at them in disgust and you thought, I can't believe they're doing that. You know what it was, too. Frank was outside smoking a cigarette. And you said, Frank, can't believe you would do that. Hey, you know Frank fails too, just like you. So the cool thing about this is that we all stumble in many ways. We all do. The word in the Greek for all, you guys know this, is all. Everybody. We all stumble in many ways. But he says, if, and that's a big if, right? If you don't stumble in what you say, then you're perfect. And if you don't stumble in what you say, he says you're able to bridle your whole body. That means that you're able to hold everything in check. You're able to restrain every piece of your life if you don't stumble in what you say. You know anybody that can do that? I don't know anybody like that. Jesus. Yet Jesus is always the right answer. So here's interesting. So I'm a horse guy. And when I read this, I see the word bridle. So I'm going to go and I'm going to look at this word. I want to know, because the horse word. So I'm looking in, and it's really this idea of gently leading. It's just like you take the lead rope, the halter, you know, you put on the horse's head, and you just lead them, and they follow you. It's one thing to just be able to put a halter on a horse. It's another thing because the next word it says, but if you put a bit in its mouth, you control its whole body. A bit is small in comparison to the horse, isn't it? We're in cowboy country, right? No? Okay, yeah, we are. But when you put a bit in a horse's mouth, we know this. We know that the horse obeys. We know that they obey better than when they have just the halter on. So because I'm not able to halter my own tongue, I'm going to have to do something else. So we put a bit in the horse's mouth to make it obey, and it goes wherever we ask it to go. Look at the ships. Ships are big, and the wind blows the ship. It doesn't need the rudder. The wind will blow it, but if you want to direct it, you need a way to direct it. So the boatmaker put a rudder on the back. And in comparison, the rudder is very small compared to the boat. And the tongue is small compared to the rest of our body, but it boasts of great things. I'm not sure that boasting of great things is always good. I think there can be times where boasting of great things is okay, but typically our tongue doesn't boast of great things in a way that we should be proud of. Because look what it says at the end of verse 5, beginning of verse 6. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and there is a fire. I'm reading this, and I'm thinking back to when I was a kid. You guys remember Smokey the Bear, right? And only you can prevent forest fires, right? And he always had one match. And that was the thing. Like, be careful for that match, that small flame, because it'll set the whole forest ablaze. And your tongue is like that. The things that you say, they could be very small and could set on course the entire piece of somebody's life. The whole day could go bad because you wake up and you complain to your wife, or you wake up and you complain to your husband, or you wake up and you yell at your kids. And that whole day could just crash, just go straight down, because our tongue is so small, but it makes a big difference. Little things make a big difference. It's interesting that in verse 7, James says that every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Now, James is a little bit older than most of us, and he did not ever go to SeaWorld. But some of us have been there. I've been across the bay from SeaWorld. I saw it from a distance. But do you know what's in SeaWorld? Fish and whales, like Shamu or whatever, right? And somebody points and this big whale jumps out of the water. It's amazing that 5 foot, six, seven, whatever people could make this giant killer whale jump out of the water. But he says no human being can tame his own tongue. Wow. We have some pretty amazing abilities as humans, and yet we can't control a small piece of our body. Little things make a big difference. James likes to use some metaphoric language, and he says this: your tongue is a restless evil. Almost as if to say, like, your tongue is excited all the time to be able to say something. I saw a study. This could be accurate. It could not be accurate. I saw a study that said men say 7,000 words a day. I saw another study that said women say 20,000 words a day. And I thought, that can't be true. So I went back. It's only 16,000. But if you think about it, like, most of the words we say are probably six letters or less. Little words make a big difference. The things that we say make a big difference. There's lots of people, so as Paul's writing this, he's saying, not many of you should get up in front and talk because those little words make a big difference. And if you say something that's incorrect, if you start to lead people astray, and listen, church, there are places all over this city where people are going to hell because what they're being taught is not Jesus only. And so not many should become teachers because what you say is important. And at this time, there's these guys called Judaizers who were coming into the scene. And they were trying to complicate the gospel of Jesus. They were trying to complicate the fact that Jesus came, died on a cross, went to a grave, rose again, and offered salvation to anyone who would believe in him. They would say, yes, Jesus did that. Yes, but you need something else. But you need circumcision, or you need communion, or you need a catechism class, or you need name it, right? They just kept saying Jesus plus something else. And the reality is, it's Jesus plus nothing. Not many of you should become teachers, brothers, because you'll be judged with the greater strictness of the things that you say. So my kids come home. So I have five teenagers from 18 to 20. I have three 18-year-olds, a 19-year-old, and a 20-year-old. My house has never been crazy. But my kids, you know, that when they were in school, they would come home from school and they'd be like, Dad, you wouldn't believe this. So we're in class today and somebody brings up this topic, right? And I know, I've heard that in church before, so I know it's not right. So I kind of raised my hand. I said, hey, that's correct. So I started to tell them where they were wrong. And as I listen, I'm like, oh, bud, actually, you're kind of wrong. I mean, they were wrong, but you're kind of wrong too. I mean, it's one thing to want the truth to be known. It's another thing to know the truth and speak the truth, right? And God tells us we should speak the truth in love. When we speak the truth, we're not trying to drive people away. We're trying to bring people in. We want people to see that Jesus loves them. So we need to speak truth in love. But not many of us should become teachers because we don't always know what to say. Paul actually tells us, I think in the letter to the Ephesians, he says, you need to pray for us also so that we will know how we ought to speak. Not what we ought to speak, but how we ought to speak. Little things make a big difference. In verse 9, James says this about our mouth, our tongue. We speak a lot, 7,000 to 16,000 words a day. With our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, which we ought to do. And we also curse people made in the likeness of God. You guys know that's not okay, right? But we do it. Each and every one of us do it. We are all guilty. None of us watch our tongue well enough. All of us, yes, we come in here this morning and we had wonderful music and my brother right here playing the guitar and we're jamming, right? And we're praising our Lord and Father, right? But there will be time today where there's no doubt maybe you're driving home, and I don't know how crazy the people in Wichita are when you're driving. I've seen a few. I've tried to stay on the back roads, but hey, let's be real. Like, you might get out there and somebody might cut you off. And you might have something to say about that. And just an hour ago, you were praising Jesus with that same mouth. You know, I remember people, you would kiss your mama with that mouth? With our mouth, we bless the Lord and we curse the people that He created in His likeness, that He breathed the breath of life into their lungs so that they could bring Him glory. And we curse them. Little words. Little thing. If we want people to meet Jesus, and we don't treat them like Jesus would treat them, do you think they're going to meet Jesus? Not in the way we want them to. He goes on to say that from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. It should not be this way. It should not say this. It should not be this way. Say it again. It should not be this way. Now, I know as a parent, I have many times told my kids, don't talk to them like that. Don't say that. Right? We should be saying that to ourselves. I say that to myself. Don't say that, Pete. Don't answer like that. As husbands, we are called not to be harsh with our wives, guys. That means that the way that we talk to our wives should be loving. It should be supportive. We should build them up. But little things make a big difference. So he asks a question in verse 11 and 12. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? No. The answer is no. Does a fig tree make olives? No. Does a grapevine make figs? No. And a salt pond doesn't yield fresh water. And a Christian shouldn't talk slanderous about somebody else. And somebody who wants to share Jesus with the world should study this book so that when they share Jesus with this world, they're actually sharing Jesus with the world. You hear me? Because we could take a little bit of here and a little bit of here, and we could go back here, and we could mix those together and share a story that may never point anybody to Jesus. But if we're going to open our mouths, we better know what we're talking about. We want to point people to Jesus. Now, why is our tongue such a problem? Because we have to fix it, right? So if the horse isn't leading, we have to put a bit in its mouth. If the ship's not turning, we need to adjust the rudder. So if our mouth isn't producing good things, if it's not saying what is correct, if it's not sharing the truth, then we have to do something about the tongue. But we have to find out where the problem originates. So in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31, Jesus says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What's here comes out here. You hear that? So what's wrong with your heart? Back in the Old Testament, God made a promise. He said, there's this day where I'm going to rip out your stony heart and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. There's a difference between people who just show up to church, right? Where I live, listen, the church that I'm at right now, we run, I don't know, 450, 500 people a Sunday. Maybe 100 of those people know Jesus. Maybe. There are people everywhere. We talk to them every day. We work with them. Who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, or I'm a Christian. That would be the word they would use. I'm a Christian. But the fact is that the word Christian means Christ follower. In order to follow somebody, what do you have to do? What's that? You got to get behind them and do what they do and go where they go and say what they say. Right? That's how you follow. I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago about when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We fear no evil because He's with us. He's leading us as the shepherd. So I told my, I said, listen, grab a hold of the shirt tail of Jesus so that as He's walking, you're going the same place. Because when you let go, He keeps going and you might veer off. And you're not where Jesus is. You're not going the same direction. So grab a hold. That's what it means to really be a Christian, is to grab a hold of the back of Jesus' coat and hold on and go where He goes. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter to the kingdom. Not everyone who says, I'm a Christian, really. Some of the people that you'll listen to, maybe on the radio or maybe online if you listen to sermons, you'll listen and you'll think, wow, I mean, they're a dynamic speaker, but something's different. Something's off. It could be very well that they say they're a Christian, but they're not. All over the book of James, he says, sometimes you say this, but you're not doing that, right? In chapter 2, he says, if a brother or sister who's poorly clothed and lacking food comes into your assembly and you say to them, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, those are nice words, without giving them anything, what good did you do? You say it, but you're not doing it. Sometimes the reason our mouth doesn't seem to be controlled is because our hearts are still stony. They're still dark. Still missing something. Sometimes we go our whole life frustrated because for some reason, man, I just can't seem to love that person. I can't seem to get there. Maybe what you need to do is for the first time say, Jesus, take out my stony heart. Give me a heart of flesh. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I don't want to be a fake. I want to be a real believer. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I want to be a real follower. You see, from a believer, from somebody who's put their faith in Jesus, these kind of words that tear down should not come from us. It should be impossible for those things to come from us because you can't get figs from an olive tree and you can't get grapes from a fig tree. And you can't get fresh water from a salt pond. You shouldn't get evil words out of a Christian's mouth. James says in James chapter 5, verse 12, he encourages you to let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if you're a believer in Jesus, act like a believer in Jesus. Talk like a believer in Jesus. Walk like a believer in Jesus. And you know, the world thinks that Christians are boring people. They think you can't have any fun if you go to church. And you know what? That's not true, right? But prove it to them, right? Prove it to them. So when you go home and friends out smoking a cigarette, go stand next to him and talk to him. Let him know that it's okay that he's your neighbor and he smokes. Go love on him. The words that come out of your mouth matter. Big time. Little things make a big difference. If you don't open your mouth, if you don't share the truth, if you don't know the truth and get into the truth and learn the truth and live the truth, those little things that you don't do matter. Somebody close to you, maybe your neighbor, maybe a co-worker, somebody that's in your family needs to hear the truth about Jesus dying on a cross for their sins, for them where they are, and the fact that he's coming to them, loving them, offering salvation to them. They need to hear it. But if we don't open our mouths, if we're not using our words well, we've done a huge injustice to the world. Guys, I want to encourage you that as you go out from here, today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, think about the words that you say. Think about what your tongue is doing. If it needs to be controlled, start learning how to control it. If it's the situation where you know that you are a believer, the Spirit lives in your body, then the Spirit wants to guide your tongue. Let Him guide your tongue. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. Treat them well. Let's pray. Father God, I want to just thank you for your word. It's truth. It's good. God, these are sometimes hard things to hear. It was hard for me to study because I know that my words aren't always pleasing. And I know that shouldn't be so. So Lord, forgive me where I fall short. God, I pray for everybody in this room, all the people that are affected by each of us, Lord, that they would see Jesus in us. God, maybe somebody could come to know Jesus because we opened our mouth and we spoke truth in love. So Lord, I just pray that you would bless Glen Park. Pray that you would make it a beacon of truth to the lost people around. That for a long time, God, you would allow this to be a place where people can meet Jesus. So we love you. We pray it in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.